B-Pod Studios.
That's an app. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you think about tonight, Mads?
I like the Jets plus some points. I think you're getting a game. I don't think there's any question you're getting a game. I think the Jets are a different team with Darnold, the quarterback. And, you know, the idea that this is like, I heard someone say earlier today they're going to blow them out. I don't think they're going to blow them out. You know how I feel about the Jets? I think the Jets going forward are going to be half decent in the second half of the year. I think this thing's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, I tend to think the same thing, only because I respect Darnold as a quarterback. And in Patriots offense, I think is still going to struggle. They've had tough games down there the last, I don't know, like 5 years, I feel like. Even when they were stacked in 2014, you know, they're winning a game like by a field goal towards the end of it. I don't know. They just, it seems to be something there when they go into that building. Like, you'd think it'd be a blowout. It's not going to be. I think one of the big things for the Jets is that they get C.J. Mosley back on defense, the linebacker. Once he went out in that week one game against Buffalo, it completely went sideways for them. So that's a big, I think he'll make a factor on that side of the ball. So Patriots win, but Jets cover.
I think it's actually a pretty good test for the Patriots, at least at this stage.
Well, compared to what
I mean, they haven't had they haven't had any, right? And again, I put a premium on the road games too. I'm sorry. So Miami doesn't count. Throw that one out. Buffalo, you went there, you had a tough time, but they don't have a quarterback. They weren't going to beat you. And so, you know, maybe this team can. And I'm not telling you I'm picking the Jets, but I think it's going to be a game. I think it's going to be competitive. I think the Jets are feeling it in a good way after beating Dallas. They're at home Monday night. You know, to me, I would take the points in this game.
So do I have this right? No Josh Gordon.
Correct.
No Ryan Izzo.
Correct.
No Matt Lacoste.
Right. Right.
No Burkhead.
Right. Right.
Like, for sure. Like, yeah. Did it make the trip?
They're already been ruled out.
They're done. So you have one tight end.
Right.
And it's 48-year-old Ben Watson in his first game. And your receivers are... Oh, so is Dorsett?
Dorsett is back, I believe. Yeah, he spoke in the locker room a few days ago saying he was going to play on Monday night. So I haven't seen anything contrary to that.
So Dorsett, Edelman, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski. Am I missing anybody? Do they only have four receivers?
I think that's it.
That sounds right.
I mean, unless you want to count.
So they only have four.
Unless you want to count Matthew Slater.
Wait a minute. They have four receivers and one tight end. Like, right. I mean, that's it. What I mean is saying, I don't mean like four good receivers and only one good tight end. No, no, no. They only have four receivers on the roster and only one tight end on the roster. And the tight end is 58 years old and is playing his first game this year.
Right. And I would even say to you.
And is no longer on steroids.
Right. And I would say to you, too, don't leave Burkhead out because they throw to him out of the backfield. So you have White. White's still there, which is good. They've used Michelle a little bit more.
They're not even dressing five receivers. Do I have this right?
I mean, again, that's, you named them. Unless you want to throw Slater in there, that's all they got.
Slater's going to get reps today at receiver. Don't you think?
He might.
Yeah, he might. He might, honestly.
Yeah, he might. And so, again, I think you're going to get a crap ton of James White in this game. And again, Mosley's a good pass game player.
And if Damien Harris still can't get in the lineup after this,
he's done something. Yeah, what the hell's going on with this kid?
But yeah, anyway.
I think the Jets' defense is pretty good. Again, the Patriots are a little undermanned. Darnold played well last week. Gase has beaten Belichick a couple of times. Belichick apparently thinks Gase is Papa Bear Hallis, for crying out loud. So, like, I just think it's going to be a game. That's all. I'm not telling you the Patriots are going to lose. It wouldn't totally shock me if the Jets won this game.
And even though they're probably going to, you know, throw a couple of balls to Slater, I think you're going to see Brady throw a ton tonight. Like,
why?
Over four. Well, so the Jets defense, they are allowing the ninth most passed attempts and the 12th most completions on a per game basis this year. And they're pretty decent against the run just based on the stats. So you would think it would probably be a little bit more balanced. Brady throws 50 times tonight. I won't be surprised.
Yeah, but with four receivers and one tight end?
Yeah, they're just not equipped for it. So again, it feels to me like a lot of James White. A lot of James White in this game.
Do they have, what's this Tomlinson tight end that they signed? Is he on the roster?
Yeah, they are. So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so they have him. Count him too.
Eric Tomlinson.
I could have caught up on all this before now, but we'll do it now.
Why would you know these names?
Yeah, why would, yeah. Right. Why should I?
Well, and he's supposed to be just a blocker, right? But I'll tell you, if they
cut tomorrow, but either way.
They weren't able to run the ball the first time against the Jets, right? If I remember right. In fact, I'm not sure they even really
tried. Well, they scored on the first three possessions, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was. It was it. It was over. The game was done. So, I'm more interested in seeing how the defense looks tonight because I think that the Jets have the potential to tax them a little bit more than everyone else has. a little bit more.
Well, it's the first time they're facing a quarterback who can do anything.
Right, and at least you got a few guys that he could throw to. You got Anderson, you got Crowder. I don't know which tight end is playing, but honestly, I don't even care because I think they can both catch the ball. Le'Veon Bell can catch it out of the backfield. Darnold is remotely functional as a quarterback. So it feels to me like, and I believe the Patriots' defense is legitimate, but tonight will be the first indication where first game, I feel, where they really have to defend a team that can attack them in different ways. And so I'm eager to see what that looks like, just because I want to know, are the Patriots, is it really historically good?
So, you know, this whole season, I've not given Brady any sort of, you know, I don't hear him whining about his weapons. Like, I just don't. And, I mean, not that I would compare the two, but I watched Green Bay yesterday, and Rodgers is throwing to Jumanji, this receiver I'd never heard of, like caveman receiver and some caveman fullback. He's throwing to all sorts of different guys, young receivers, fringe roster players, nobody fullbacks, nobody fifth, sixth receivers.
That tight end with the hair, I had never heard
of
that.
He's a receiver, I think.
Oh, is that either is way? He, is he,
that's what I'm saying, Jumanji.
I don't know who the hell that guy was.
Caveman, dude. There's some caveman guy out there. I think he's a receiver. Maybe he's a tight end. I don't even know. He's the fullback's Vitaly. Was he here? Is he a former Patriot? Either way, I don't know.
I don't remember.
So he's, you know, throwing up hyphenated, no name, nobodies. And they're still making it work. So, like, all season, I'm like, I don't want to hear it from you, Brady. Work with the young guys, the new guys, and between you and the scheme and everything else, you should be able to make it work. And that's how I've been all year. Tonight, I do wonder. Tonight, I wonder if that even, if I'm stretching it tonight, if Matt Slater's going to take reps at receiver. And they have, you know, Dorsett, who's hurt, Edelman, who's hurt, and then Jacoby Myers is the third guy. They have no tight ends to speak. You know, like, there is a tipping point there. I do wonder if tonight's the night. And so as soon as I say that, I know the Pats are going to blow them out.
That's just, you know, it usually goes that way, right?
It's just they're going to blow them out. And they're going to get inside of Darnold's head. They're going to score on defense. Gase is no match, and it'll be proven once again. And you just know, like, how that I just don't think the Jets are legit competition right now. And I can look at the Pats roster and say, ooh, that doesn't look right. I mean, you still got the nobody at left tackle. You still got these problems across the board offensively. And I think they're going to blow them out just because I don't think the Jets are ready for you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a game. I mean, again, it wouldn't be the first time that the game went completely opposite in the direction I thought it would. I just feel like the whole thing reeks to me of a game. The Patriots are banged up. The Jets played well last week. They get their quarterback back. I think offensively, Gase does have a clue. And so, I mean, remember that Miami offense gave the Patriots trouble last year, down there anyway. And that's not necessarily the best indication because the Patriots defense was playing better later in the year. I just feel like, I don't know, this one feels to me like take the points. Take the points. They'll get the win in all probability and get out of there. And it'll be a 17-16, 20-16, whatever it is. But the 10 feels like a big number. And I think that's what it's up to is 10 points.
So what is the Lifshatz and the Bankroll Boys big on that in these primetime games, the spread plays that the league and Vegas needs the cover, but the league's still fine with like the Packers the week before. They want the Packers, but they need Detroit to cover, so they make it just close enough and then let Green Bay win.
So that's the other thing too, right?
And if that's the trend, then it's Pats win, but Jets cover.
It's Sean Hockley's got the game, I think.
Yeah, correct.
And his crew is one of the most efficient. Shocker. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. One of the more efficient crews in the league.
Over-efficient.
So, yeah. So they throw a ton of penalties. And well, I heard this today, that the night that Brady tweeted about the officiating, it was this guy's crew.
Yeah.
So, like.
Oh, yeah. What has Hurley Bird got on this? Is he already said?
Oh, no. Tom Curran wrote a whole article on this on NBC Sports Boston a few hours ago. So yeah, maybe there's a, you know, you might
it's
see a not so subtle,
yeah,
not so subtle porking, yeah, going on tonight.
Hockily schmockily.
Is the game managed? Does Vegas need? How did Vegas do this weekend?
I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Man, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Email us, Lifshatz.
It felt like a tough weekend of the games, though. I'll tell you that.
In terms of.
Just overall, like, a lot of them opened up more than you thought they would. So, you know.
Who does Vegas
need? The Niners didn't cover. The weather was a factor there. right? I think that weren't the Giants favored and they lost outright. And I'm just going across the board now. Indy ended up covering in that game against Houston. That one felt like it was going to be a nail biter.
I'm an idiot, though. I should have bet Indy. Houston losing that game was like the most Bill O'Brien thing ever after they go to Kansas City and win that game.
Exactly. I mean, Baltimore opened it up at Seattle, so that one went the other way. I already said Houston. It was in New Orleans. In Chicago, you figure that one's going to be a rock fight. They end up opening the game up and winning it easily. So it felt to me like, you know, I don't know if the bettors took a bigger hit or Vegas. I have no idea.
So the trend line, again, if you believe the bankroll, boys, and I do implicitly, it's Pats win, Jets cover. That's the trend in these primetime games. The 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock games, the regular slate, the spread is dead, as they would tell you. But in these primetime games, well, I mean, it didn't play last night, that's for sure. Dallas wins and covers. But anyway, so those are your game thoughts. Patriots, Jets tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The pregame is going to start at 5:30. We have you covered all the way up until 5:30. Your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on the NFL weekend, your thoughts on Brady and the Top Happy Spa. Right back to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports
Hub. I mean, Monday Night Football is great. It's only once a year that we get to do it. And I think with the Thursday night games now, it's taking maybe a little steam out of that Sunday night games and so forth. But it's still a special night, and we get a little extra time to prepare. But they're going to be ready to go. They got a big physical defensive front, very aggressive coaches, coaches that have coached against us quite a few times. So they'll be fired up and ready to go.
Okay, there's Brady on Monday night. He actually answered some football questions after they removed Phil Housley from his leg.
The blame and shame, media atmosphere.
Housley, the reporter, not the hockey player.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's Phil Housley.
After Siskel and Ebert left, they got to the football and freaking entertainment reporters.
The blame and shame media.
Anyone else got any questions?
Yeah, right. After two minutes and 20 seconds of Housley, Brady turns to Reese and says, anyone else?
Anyone else got any questions?
Anyone get this maggot off my leg already with the Netflix thing?
The blame and shame media atmosphere.
Okay, more blaming and shaming. I do love Brady's, is indignance a word? I want to use it, Tufts, but I don't know.
I don't know if it's a word, but go ahead. You have my permission.
Say indignant behavior. How about that?
Defiance?
It's really just, how indignant can you be? You're the one that, I mean, geez, Tom, what do you think people would do with that? How could you, are you really surprised? Ian and Malden on the Netflix thing. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, so I think you guys are over, I think a lot of people are overlooking or maybe overthinking is a better way of putting it. What the actual driving force behind this is. I mean, Tom Brady does not make decisions based on what's best for the Patriots, Belichick, Kraft. He doesn't do that anymore. He's past all that.
That's right.
So picture this, bear with me. Picture the sales pitch from the producers for this show to Brady. It's, you know, hey, Tom, we got this TV show, and it's about, you know, middle-aged 40-something-year-old guys who are sort of losing their mojo, and they're finding this better version of themselves at an age where people get worse. I mean, you might as well have strapped a TB12 hat to Paul Rudd's fat head. So he hears that, and the hooks are in him. So he doesn't care about anything
so
else.
So true.
You know, and one more thing. He's already established as the greatest of all time on the field. He's past that. It doesn't take a second thought. His focus now is being known and easily recognized as the person to do it the best, for the longest, and most importantly, at an unprecedented age. That is his life moving forward, and he's frustrated because it missed the mark and it missed big time.
Well, no. Well, his frustration put to the side, but that is a reason why he would be willing to overlook and ignore the thing, the fact that it would embarrass his owner.
Right, it's good for him.
It's such a great thing for his brand. His whole brand is, look at what I'm doing at my age. That's it. That's the brand, my method. And anything that promotes and plays him in that regard is, so this thing is perfect for him.
Sure it is, yeah.
Perfect. He's got the Fountain of Youth, the magic formula. Look at me. And so that's exactly what, that's it played exactly with what he wants to be portrayed as. And I think that next to a little embarrassment for the owner or people drawing a, you know, taking something out of context and making an allusion to an embarrassing episode for his owner, he was willing to suffer that collateral damage. Because, again, you can't tell me he didn't know what was going to be on that green screen or how that would be played.
And
it's impossible for you to tell me that.
And maybe it's just as simple as he filmed it when he was a little bit pissed off, like even more than he has been lately. So when were the contract squabbles? Late July, right? So you can put in, you know, Brady contract negotiations. That pops up. Brady's camp frustrated over lack of new deal for Patriots quarterback. Looking at an article from July 25th. He puts his house up for sale August 6th. All those stories come out. Now, this thing reportedly was filmed couple of months ago. I can do that math, looking at a calendar. That would be August. So maybe he filmed it when he was at the utmost pissed off and was like, you know what?
Love it.
Yeah, the hell with it. When it comes out, it comes out. I'll deal with the blowback. I'll have some kind of excuse.
I mean, there's something there. There's a reason that ultimately this thing aired without someone getting in the way of it. Now, what that is, I don't know. Okay, so all I know is that, you know, I don't believe he filmed it with the idea of, yeah, screw him. Like, I don't think...
No, that's not why he went in there.
Right. But there's no question that they had to have been told or had... If they didn't see it before it aired, then it's still on them. Like, the idea that this thing could have aired and not one person that works for Brady or Brady himself says, well, we want to see it first. How did it come out? Like, to me, that's the first question you ask. You got to see it. You don't let them air it without seeing it.
You have to tell me what's on the green screen. What am I play acting in front of? That's 101. They have to tell you. Is it a beach? Is it a mountain? Am I on a farm? Am I in an office? No, you're coming out of an Asian day spa at a strip mall. That's it. I mean, they tell them. You got to know what you're acting in front of the green screen.
It says somebody somewhere made a colossal error in judgment over there. Whether it was Brady.
See, I don't think it's that colossal. I think he's okay with the poking, you know, so look, people are going to read it this way and are going to have a little snicker at Kraft. Big deal. Not my problem. And it really, that's all it is at the end of the day. It's all it is. The only thing.
Yeah, he looks like garbage though, Mike.
I don't agree with that. You know what? So take a little shot at Kraft. Man, it's all fair in love and war. It's all, you know, if he's busting your balls with something else or you think you're being mistreated, he did it. And, oh, by the way, the only reason it's a big deal is because Robert is so overwrought about the thing. No one cares about the massage.
Yeah, but that's why.
What people care about or what I care about is hiring Epstein's lawyer or the behind-the-scenes media campaign to, you know, get people in your corner or, like, this whole thing when it was just a massage, Robert. Like, it's okay.
Right. No one really cares, but Robert cares.
Exactly.
Right. You know, so he's made it a very sensitive issue. So this is where, while I think it's funny, Brady made an error in judgment here because I think you do, you know, rub this guy wrong.
Especially, again, he's
what's wrong. No pun intended.
Yeah, so what's wrong with Robert rubbing Robert wrong? He's above, what? You're not allowed to poke fun at the owner?
For certain things, sure.
Yeah, but I don't think.
Why? This is the perfect thing. It's harmless.
I don't think Brady, again, harmless. Listen, and at the end of the day, I tend to agree. Okay, fine. It's nothing more than a jab. But do you think that Brady wanted to agitate Robert?
No, but I think he was okay if people read it that way, and that's his problem, not mine.
So the fact that Robert is agitated, I think, bothers Brady. That's what I think.
Maybe today, not at the time. John in Westminster. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I have an alternate thought. A digital creation is easy. I think there were two copies of the film, and they showed him the first one, which was a spa, and then they aired the second one because...
So they showed him, so originally on the green screen, it was the Ritz-Carlton, and then when it came to production, it was the Top Hat spa at that strip mall.
Right, but it could be either one. It could be Netflix itself, or I just thought of another one. A spook convinced them to take the second one, the Asian one, so that both Kraft and Brady could be embarrassed.
Okay. So deep throat there.
There's also a theory, just to follow up on the caller's thought, that the comedy people are not sports people, so they might think that the name of the spa being different is ha-ha funnier. So to the caller's point about Brady may have seen a different name on the spa, but then the comedy people, not the sports people, changed the name of the spa.
So I don't get that. So Brady, you're actually on the green screen, you're coming out of an Asian day spa named Asian Day Spa or whatever. They gave him a different name than top. The top hat thing means nothing, does it?
No, no, but the way it's written and with the Chinese characters, it might as well just say Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Like, come
on. Seriously, though, I agree. Even the font, right? The font even looks a little like it.
The top happy spa. What does that? Is that a play on words?
No.
Is that an entendre? Am I missing something?
No.
That?
Nope.
So
just means it's the best happy spa going. It's the top.
You think they told him the spa's name something else and then at the end changed it to say Top Happy Spa?
That's what I believe.
But I don't even get why is Top Happy incriminating or anyway? Like, why is that even more embarrassing?
Because with the Chinese characters, again, it might as well just say Orchids of Asia Day Spa. So
did they tell him this is a Greek day spa, not an Asian day spa when he's in front of the green screen? Like, that makes a difference? It's an Italian day spa, Tom.
Maybe it looked like it just read unassuming spa with no Chinese characters.
This is the ABC spa.
Yeah. I'm telling you, somebody somewhere, something got lost in translation somewhere, somebody screwed up whatever it is.
I don't believe that.
Something happened there.
I don't believe that.
I have a hard time believing he knowingly took a shot at Kraft.
He didn't intend to, but he and his people knew that might be an illusion some people made, but it's not their problem.
Then why is he upset about it?
Because he woke up on Saturday and said, oh, crap, now I have to deal with this. I'll attack the media. Who knows how upset he really is?
I don't know.
Good job, Tom.
He seemed pretty mad on Saturday.
The blame and shame media. I could not have said it better myself. The blame and shame media atmosphere. That's a good one. I hope that one lives. The fellowship of the miserable. The blame and shame.
The blame and shame media atmosphere.
Love it. Top happy spa. I still don't even get it. I don't get what that means. Drew in Wakefield. Go ahead, Drew.
Sports Hub, not Drama Hub. It's all drama. I just hope Brady and Robert planned this way back when and just laughing about it now and having a great time. That's it. Love the show. Just wish there was more sports.
Okay, babe. Drama. Well, I mean, you can talk sports if you want.
Look forward to the game tonight. I think they're going to crush the Jets. Can't wait for the Jets just to be done with and over with.
Okay. I think they're going to crush them too. So, but again, the first thing, it's all orchestrated. This is all play. So the thing.
No way.
So Halsey was a plant.
Yeah.
No way.
And Brady was just playing it up and they're both sort of somewhere laughing it off.
No, I think Brady was genuinely pissed on Saturday. That didn't feel like an act to me.
Do you think Robert has had one half a chuckle over the Orchids of Asia Day Spa thing? Do you think he's had one moment of levity?
No.
Or fun about, or is he completely overwrought and oversensitive to the whole thing?
No, I think he's oversensitive. I think he's embarrassed by it.
It's the second thing. It's the second thing. Frank and Rozzy. Hi, Frank.
Hello. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right. This whole thing with Brady, there's no question about it. He knew what he was going. I mean, you know, it was probably one of those things where, you know, he was mad and he said, you know what, I'll do this thing. And then the next day he woke up and said, oh, my God, what did I do? He knew exactly what he was doing. And you know, I think this is it for him. He's not coming back here. He's not staying here. And it's a shame that that's going to be the case.
Okay, so maybe it's just another little tiny sign. But again, I don't totally agree with you that he totally knew what he was doing. He did not walk into that thing or sign the paperwork or show up at the Marriott in Newton or wherever he filmed the thing a couple months ago saying, I'm going to take a shot at Robert. No. It was a perfect setup for his brand and his everlasting life and fountain of youth, and it was a perfect setup for him and his crossover goals and all of that. And then once he got there and did it, at some point somewhere, he or his team realized, oh, that's an Asian day spa, and you're acting like it just got serviced in there, and the owner just got arrested for that, and he's really sensitive about it, and so what should we do? And at that point, I think he said, ah, it's fine. And let it go.
I mean, that's the thing is, before the thing aired, they had to have seen it. And so for Brady to sit there and blast the media for turning it into something that it's not, the media didn't turn it into anything. Everybody, every viewer watched that thing and thought the same thing. There was no media, you know, filtering that took place there. It wasn't any sort of, you know, there, nobody was bending anybody's mind. Everybody went to the same thing. So for Brady to lecture someone about that, that is completely disingenuous.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on this nice little piece of gossip. I got football as well, the Patriots tonight, the NFL weekend. And wouldn't you know it, just when I need it, my computer jammed up again. I'm going to need some help with the stat here coming up, Murray. Maybe you can help me with the stat. Maybe we'll get our computers working in the break. We'll hit on that after Murray's update. Don't go in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Quarterback sneak, Garoppolo, he's got it. Good push right behind Mike Person at right guard to plunge forward. And that's a first down, 49ers.
Here's where a lot of people don't know about Jimmy Garoppolo. He is strapped up from the waist down.
Garoppolo back on third down, throws middle. Wide open, Richie James Jr. They drop Richie James Jr. over the middle on third down for a gain of 40 yards.
And I promise you, he is the third read in the progression there for Jimmy Garoppolo. Look right, nothing there. Look left, was going to unload. Loaded, and then saw Richie James at the last second in a sidearm sling.
Quick snap play action. Garoppolo throws out right. It is caught for a first down by Ross Twilley.
Wow.
That's Spider 2 wide banana. And they give it to Coleman. Well, Garoppolo going to pull it out. Pull it out and throw it down the sideline right. Caught by Kendrick Bourne on the 10. What a play. What a play action fake that was by Garoppolo to pull it out and then hit Kendrick Bourne down the right sideline.
What is it like right now with this team at 6-0? How good is this team feeling about themselves and each other?
Yeah, I think we got a good mindset in that locker room. We take it one week at a time, and if we keep doing that, we'll be in a good spot. But yeah, like you said, it was fun out here today, just slopping around in the rain and everything. It was a good time.
We get these computers working yet, Maz? I can...
Oh, yeah, no, they're humming now.
They always jam up. What if Murray could have... Murray, did you look it up in the... Do you have Jimmy Garoppolo's record as a starter by any chance?
You're such an a-hole, too. This actually happened. I legitimately asked you during the commercial break, Mike, what stat did you need?
Oh, I was so happy.
Oh, you didn't get a few. You actually fell for it? Yeah, have a good laugh at my expense. Yay, holes.
What is it now?
What is it, 14-2, whatever the hell it is? Oh.
14-2. Winning percentage of 875.
Yeah. 14-2.
What matters more? Fact he's throwing basically a pick per game. He's throwing a pick per game this season.
Jimmy Garoppolo wins more than the percentage of time that NFL kickers make extra points, Murray. Jimmy G is more likely to get a win than a kicker is to make a freaking extra point. How do you like that?
The reckoning is coming for this kid. I can't wait.
So we're throwing out the stats right here. In some respects, Jacoby Brissett has had the best. If you want to go Brady, Garoppolo, Brissett, Brissett's had the best record of all of them. And in fact, last night, I heard it when he said it. Rodney Harrison.
Yeah.
In the pregame, they were showing a Colts highlight, and Rodney Harrison said, best quarterback in the AFC right now. It was Jacoby Brissett. Immediately, the other guy's like, settle down. Tom's playing tomorrow night. But there's a Rodney Brady thing. Like, you want to play that up. Maybe for another day. But
Brissett's got 14 touchdowns and 3 picks.
Yeah. So, but either way, back to the matter at hand. 14-2. Under Kyle Shanahan, he's 12-2.
Correct.
He's 12. If he's 12-2 under Kyle Shanahan, what's he going to be under Bill Belichick?
You get 14-0.
Boy, you win a crap ton of games with this guy as your quarterback.
You said 12-2 through 14 games, right? And no other quarterback in Niners history has ever won more than 10 out of the first 14 games. Jimmy G isn't just better than that. He's 2 games better than that. 2 games better. Jimmy G. Something has already done something that Steve Young didn't do and Joe didn't do. Jimmy G 14-2, 12-2 in his first 14 with the Niners, even better than Montana started.
I get it from all angles. You know, they show the post-game press conference in the rain yesterday, and they put up the graphic, Niners 6-0 for the first time since 1990. The wife takes a photo of it and says, send that to Mass. I'm like, Jesus, all right.
They did. They texted it to me last night. Jimmy G did. He looked good. He looked kind of cold, but he looked a little rugged out there in the mud.
They the class of the NFC?
Yeah.
It feels that way.
They are?
They might be. Them or Green Bay.
No. New Orleans, to me, is the team that you got to watch out for.
Oh, right. Yeah, thank you. What am I saying? Yeah, New Orleans. They're the most well-rounded team in the league.
New Orleans scares me the most.
They should scare you again. 5-0 with Bridgewater. What a story that is. Like, really, there is a great, great story. You talk about parallel storylines in some ways, and they're not perfect. What's going on with the Saints after the Breeze injury and what's going on with the Colts after the Luck retirement. Those two teams having elevated the way they did with their second quarterbacks on the field, and hell, throw Carolina in the mix too if you want, if they end up getting in it. But I'm not sure they're on the same level as New Orleans or San Francisco in the NFC. Indy could be an AFC finalist.
So, you know, Murray, again, just two, 3 weeks ago, told us there's only three teams worth paying attention to. The whole rest of the league is useless. Don't pay attention to anything else other than these three teams. And those three teams were, well, he started off with Philly going to the Super Bowl. Then in week two, he says they're done.
That was preseason.
He actually might be right about that. Right. Preseason, he had Philly. By week two, he said there's only three teams worth paying attention to, only three teams at all. And those were the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Cowboys.
Correct.
Now here we are 3 weeks later. What does that list look like, Mark?
It's a very fluid list week to week. So number one, it's the New Orleans Saints. Shame on me that I forgot that a moment ago. But yeah, Saints, most complete team in the NFL. They're number one. Number two, Patriots, but that could change tonight. Number three, the Green Bay Packers. And number four, now going with the Baltimore Ravens. They're a high riser after that win in Seattle. And number five, the San Francisco 49ers.
Niners are good. They're legit. Now, look, again, yesterday was an ugly game, but they shut him out. I mean, not that the Redskins are anything to brag about or write home about. But the Niners, to me, give them where they've gone. They're winning on the road. They're winning at home.
You have the Saints ahead of the Patriots, Murray?
I do. Yeah. I do. Mm-hmm. That they're 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is real impressive.
New Orleans is more balanced, at least right now.
And they played some real teams. I mean, I'll grant you all that. I think the Pats are the class of the league. And then I think, like, the next five or six teams are NFC. Honestly, before I give you Indy, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, I would go New Orleans. I would go San Francisco. I would go Green Bay. I would go Minnesota, for crying out loud.
Seattle.
I would definitely go Seattle. Absolutely. The next five teams to me are NFC teams. All five of those. And you could even still talk me into Cowboys or Eagles, one of those two teams. I think that's the class. I think, you know, I think that's still a really competitive, good, fun. That'll be a great race on the NFC side.
Vikings are balanced, too. And Kirk Cousins has maybe been the best quarterback in the league the last two or three weeks. I'm not falling for that banana in the tailpipe. You know what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins come crunch time or the playoffs. Please.
I'm with Murray on this. I think the Vikings are a freaking, you know, trick chair, for crying out loud. Every time you're ready to sit down, the thing collapses and you fall on your fat ass. So that's what they are. But they have been good the last few weeks. They've been really, really good.
Okay. Either way. Garoppolo just keeps winning. Just another game, another win for Jimmy Garoppolo. Win after win after win.
Yep. In fact, I think it's a good time for the Hot Sports Take, brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. It bears repeating. I mean, it's not an old take. In fact, we said it again like 3 minutes ago. 14-2. 14-2. If the Patriots go 14-2, you know what people do here? They throw parades. They throw parades because inevitably a Super Bowl follows. Jimmy G, 14-2. What did they get for him in the trade again? What was that? What did they get back?
It was a low second.
Oh, that was a good move.
I just said low second to make it sound worse. I can't remember where it was.
It was a high second.
It was 36. Yeah,
but whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. Just second is enough. That's all you need to know, second. Because let's face it, guys that go 14-2, oh, they grow on trees. I mean, you know, you get a second for something like that. You don't get a first. Why would you want a first for a guy that goes, Murray, what's his record again?
14-2.
Thank you. Yes, 14-2. Let's just want to make sure that's a winning percentage of 8.75. 8.75, that is higher than anybody in NFL history. It's likely to come down, but you never know. Maybe it stays where it is.
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
We'll get back to your Brady Patriots NFL thoughts here in 1 second, but first we have breaking news to address.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
From NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Boston Celtics forward Jaylen Brown has agreed to a four-year, $115 million contract extension per agent Jason Gluschen. So, Jaylen Brown agreeing to a four-year, $115 million contract extension with the Boston Celtics.
Okay, your thoughts, Maz?
Boy, that's a lot of dough, isn't it? I mean, and I'm not telling you he's overpaid, but this is where we are in the NBA. That a guy with 3 years in the league gets $29 million a year for 4 years.
Well, so let's put it into context. All these guys, I think Jimmy Murray or Jim Stewart, you can correct me, but all these guys from his draft class have now re-signed going to their restricted walk year. Ben Simmons started it, 5 years, 170. So Simmons is $34 million a year. Jamal Murray signed 5 years, 170. That's $34 million. Okay, so Simmons and Murray are $34 million a year. Pascal Siakam just signed in Toronto, 4 years, 130. Okay, that's $32 million. Okay, Jaylen Brown, 4 years, 115 is just under 29.
Yeah, right? 28.75, yeah. Yep.
Is 28. So rank those four players for me. In order, please.
Jamal Murray would be my number one.
Yeah, I think...
I go Murray, Siakam, Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons.
See, I put Simmons up higher than you do because, again, they factor in potential on these deals.
Like they.
I know. I'm not telling you you're wrong.
He doesn't shoot.
He was the number one pick in the draft.
So?
They regard him as a franchise
player.
So
is Markelle Fultz. Where is he?
Well, I know. I get that. I'm not defending that side of it. I'm just telling you that I think the first two are Murray and Simmons, maybe not even in that order. I'm with Jim Murray, though. I like Murray's performance so far the best. So, you know, I'd put Brown, though, ahead of the others.
So what I'm saying is...
Did you mention Buddy Hield, too? Did you say
Hield? I did not.
He was from the 16 draft.
Oh, he was? He was here before? Yeah,
yeah. Okay. No, Buddy Hield was the same draft. He was the sixth overall pick.
Oh, same draft, yeah. Okay. He just signed.
4 years, $94 million for Buddy.
What's that AAV?
That's 24 and change.
Okay, so Hield comes in after Jaylen Brown. He's properly slotted. In fact, if Simmons is going to make $34 million a year and Siakam's going to make 32 plus, to get Brown for 28 isn't so bad. Or just under 29? I think that's... I mean, it's insane the NBA is doing this.
I know, it's crazy. There's big numbers for all of them. I feel like it's a little high. And to me, because I just want to see more offensive output from Brown, because to me, to warrant that kind of money, you got to score. Or you got to be dishing and creating for other guys at a level that's off the charts.
Is he even 23?
No. Like, so that's the other variable,
you know,
Murray.
And I think it's important. I would think it's important to show to your, you know, your hardcore fans and season ticket holders, like, we're committed to these kids. So I felt like they needed to get this done. It does look high. In terms of the AAV and the number overall and on the surface, but I don't know, kid's 23. I do think he'll get better.
No. You're looking at this all wrong. You see, Danny Ainge wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard just cashed in on a big contract with the Clippers. So this deal for Jaylen Brown, who in the eyes of the Celtics is better than Kawhi Leonard, is an absolute steal. Absolute steal. Brilliant move by Danny Ainge getting this kid at a discount.
You're just determined to sit in the 300s, huh?
Sarcasm.
Again, it feels to me like it's a little high.
But hold on. But if, you know, the only other option is to let him play it out and, you know, take offer sheets next year.
Correct. The team has very little leverage in this way. So the fact that they got a deal done is good for them.
If Simmons, Siakam, Murray, Hield are all going to get what they get, sign when they sign, same draft class, same free agent status, if they're all going to sign this offseason, they're all going to get what they got, then this is what Jaylen Brown is worth, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, to me,
should he be behind Buddy Hield?
No,
but I think he should be more in line with Buddy Hield. That's what I would argue. You know, probably a little bit more because again,
was 494.
Yes, yeah, 494.
Which is
right.
Probably why the Celtics originally offered Jalen 480.
So I just feel like he should be more in that area. He's a more versatile player than Hield. Hield's not really much of a defender. He's almost a pure shooter, really, more than anything. So, you know, not the most athletic guy in the world, but he can shoot. So, Brown, to me, brings a little bit more to the table, but that's a big gap between him and Hield. And I think Siakam's overpaid. I mean, that number there, to me, feels like Siakam's number is high.
32.5?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, that's a big number.
That's the championship bump. That's why you got that number.
Seriously, though. Like, Simmons, I get. I'm not disagreeing with your assessment of him. But I get it. He's the number one pick, and they look at him as being a franchise-altering guy.
So Tatum will be in the exact same spot that Brown was this year if Jaylen Brown is $28 million.
Over 30.
Tatum's going to get that Ben Simmons deal. He's going to get the 5 and 170.
Yeah, something close. Yeah, especially if you have Ainge on, I'm not sure how much this matters in an actual negotiation. But Ainge is basically admitting that they would have taken him first had they had the number one pick. So they regard him as that kind of talent. They're going to pay Tatum.
So if part of the issue last year was these guys coming up on their contracts, want to make their money, want to grow their brand, and they're worried about their individual thing, does this make it less likely for Jaylen Brown to get caught up in that thing because he just got paid and now he can focus on winning?
Yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I think that's a positive. It also tells you why Brown didn't seem to be all that concerned about his contract here in the preseason. He was asked about it, kind of shrugged it off. No big deal. You know, we'll figure it out. And he was right. So then the Ainge was obviously on our air here with Toucher and Rich at the end of last week. He said for four times 20, the 4-year, $80 million offer was inaccurate. Clearly the number was higher and they were much closer to that. Hell, they probably had the numbers figured out on Friday. So, you know,
at 4 and 80, he was right to turn that. I mean, I remember saying like
too low.
No freaking way. No freaking way. If Simmons and these other guys are going to get what they're getting, no way you take
Rozier
4 and 80.
Just got a 3-year deal at 19.5 per from Charlotte. Like, so he's better than him.
But he's unrestricted versus restricted, which should make a difference, but it sounds like it doesn't.
Yeah, really. I mean, the numbers are huge.
It sounds like it doesn't make a difference. These teams still have rights on these guys, and they're signing them like they're unrestricted guys can go anywhere. That's just ridiculous.
I know. The numbers are absolutely gigantic. The idea that Jaylen Brown, 3 years in, would be making $30 million a year is crazy. Crazy. But the one thing I will say, he got a lot better in the second half of last year. I thought he was the most improved Celtic from beginning end to the end. And if that continues, they might be on to something because his game got better.
Okay, so there's that breaking news. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, the indignance, not a word, but it's all I could come up with there. The indignant nature of Tom Brady over the weekend and the Netflix thing will reset our thoughts on that and get to your calls. After Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.